You're listening to the TV Obsessive Channel, presented by TVObsessive.com.
Hello and welcome back to episode 47 of the TV Obsessive Podcast. My name is Ryan Kirksey, writer and contributor for TVObsessive.com. I'm joined by Cameron Crane, the executive editor for the site. Cameron, I've got a secret, but I'm not going to tell you till next week.
All right, I guess. Okay. Yeah. Tell me next week.
I'll tell you next week.
You tell me next week. All right. Welcome back. We're going to talk about sugar. Continue to talk about sugar with episode 5. The latter part of the pod. We'll dig in on spoilers there, including what Ryan was alluding to, which is there is a secret.
What secret? We don't know.
We don't know. Been enjoying the show. But yeah, as per usual in the first half of the pod here, we'll just chat a bit about what's been in the news this week, a couple things to talk about, what we've been watching a little bit, I suppose. And then in the back half, we'll dig in on sugar. So it's April 26th, Ryan. What do you got in the news? What caught your eye? What caught your eye this week?
Yeah, why don't we start with a show that I know is one of your and my favorites. Why don't we start with some Severance news, which is, any news that we get at this point is good.
We're desperate for Severance news.
Yeah, Severance news. So apparently, one of the customers posted that their photography is finished. They have done filming. They're moving into post-production, and they are starting that process, to which I'd like to just say something to Apple for a minute, if I can. Apple, you know what Apple's market cap is right now? Probably not. It's $2.6 trillion as we sit here today. Apple, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, let's get this thing done. Bonuses, the incentives, the whatever it costs, let's go. Get it done.
Yeah, I mean, they just have to finish the work. I don't know if there's any. This is like the most biddable news about Severance that, one could imagine, basically. But yeah, I mean, he's trying to show, right on the first season. And really been looking forward to season two. We all know it's got delayed. But so they wrap filming. That's good. I also, little birdies are saying like, oh, Ben Stiller said in a podcast, he's hoping that it comes out later this year. He doesn't even have any control over that.
No.
Filming is wrapped, but they still have to do post-production. The work involved in all of that, editing, and so on and so forth. Who knows exactly how long that takes. I don't think they're dragging their feet.
I would think not, considering, I went back today and reviewed the Rotten Tomatoes score, the critics score, the awards that it was nominated. They have no incentive to keep this under wraps for any longer than they have to.
No, they wanted out there. They wanted it out there this year.
Yeah.
I think that's clear. And then, the filming was delayed with the strikes last year and all of that.
Yeah.
So it goes. But I guess my off the cuff estimate would be probably early next year, but maybe if we're really lucky, late this year.
Yeah, I think I'd have to look at what we've already talked about, how much competition there's going to be in 2025. I don't know much about what's the holiday slate of TV for 2024. Could they get it out in late November, December, something like that time frame? Surely they could, and whenever they can, we're just going to be ready.
Yeah, and I don't know what their logic is exactly either in terms of when they release things. I believe the first season of Severance did come out in February. Maybe they like that, Maybe they don't want to release it in December or something, Yeah. So we'll just see. Eyes peeled. Yeah, but again, just scraping for Severance news. This is literally just because, I follow accounts on social media. They wrap filming. Okay, yay, hooray.
Anything we can get.
It'll happen. It'll come, right? It's on tape. Right?
Yes.
So now they just gotta, do all the post production. So other upcoming seasons of television. I did not realize that Law and Order Organized Crime has 4 seasons.
I did not realize this either. I guess when you consider it under the fact that what Law and Order the tentpole show has like 25 seasons or something. I mean, it doesn't sound like as much, but no, I thought this had just literally just started.
Yeah, I thought there was like maybe one season. I don't
Yeah.
know. Like it was something odd about the marketing or when I noticed it or whatever. But so apparently season five, they're going to kick over to Peacock as a Peacock exclusive, which is interesting. I have still not watched Law and Order Organized Crime. Have you ever checked it out at all?
I've never seen that one. I did always like the, I think it's Chris Maloney, Mariska Hargitay relationship on the original SVU. I guess that doesn't exist anymore. I have not found myself really going either direction of either SVU or organized crime since that duo sort of split up. So no, I've never seen any of it.
Yeah, me neither. My understanding is a bit more serialized than the traditional Law and Order format. You've got Christopher Maloney, who I do like. This would make me a little tempted to check it out on Peacock, which they still have. They got me. They got me with the NFL playoff game.
Well,
Good
that's
job,
perfect.
NBC Universal.
You're
I'll
past
get.
your free month now, I'm sure.
Oh, it was way past, but then
Yeah.
it's like, well, it's only like $6.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been motivated to cancel it, so we'll see. If they raise the price, I'm like, well,
Yeah, see ya.
that'd probably be the end of it. But we'll see how that goes. We got some casting news for the Office spinoff. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, this was interesting. I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm just so embedded in who these office characters were, obviously from this seminal show that was a remake of the British classic. So two people have been cast in this Office spinoff, which is not a reboot. It exists in the same universe, so presumably there'll be some cameos and things they can do with the original cast, but Domhnall Gleeson, who people know as the real, I think, redheaded bad guy from the most recent Star Wars trilogies, and Sabrina Impacciatore, who got a lot of acclaim for her role in White Lotus, have been cast in this show. They're very interesting actors in terms of their looks, in terms of their style. So I don't know. It just maybe I'm having a hard time computing that this says Office to me, but these two are the first ones named, you know?
I don't know what they're gonna do. What's the show gonna be like?
Right.
Domhnall Gleeson also always makes me think of the Black Mirror episode he was
Oh,
in.
yes.
He's got some range for sure. So yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what they're going to do.
Do you, when you think Gleason, do you think comedy?
Well, that's why I mentioned Black Mirror, because I know that that Black Mirror episode is not at all, it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
But it has, I feel like, comedic elements in it. If you recall, this is one where he plays the like android,
Yes, okay.
So it's actually kind of a sad episode because a spoiler alert for a Black Mirror episode from like 7 years ago. His character dies like right at the beginning, and then his wife gets sucked into the idea of interacting with this like AI version of him. So I mean, I do think there is a way, if you think back on that episode when Domhnall Gleeson is acting as the kind of semi-awkward android, though there are some elements of humor in that maybe touch a little bit in the
Yeah.
kind of style of The Office's humor. I don't know, that's as close as I can get thinking about Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, and this is just the first two. I mean, obviously, I think one thing we see in this article here that we'll post is that they're looking far and wide to find people that are available for the latter half of this year to start working on this. So this is the first two, presumably of many. Greg Daniels, the original showrunner creator, is back in charge. So, you know, and Daniels we trust, I guess. He did it with this. He did have done it with many other shows.
Yeah, I do. What remains most fascinating to me is why is it in the Office universe?
Yeah.
Why does it need to be in the Office universe?
And I hate
But
to think that it's so that they can bring back cameo characters so people will watch it, you know.
yeah, I mean, I hope it's not just that. But
You know, is this going to be in Philly? Spoilers for the last season of The
I
Office. That
mean,
was on 11
something must
years
have
ago.
inspired him here
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it's related to the Office universe in some way, and I'm just curious exactly what that is, because it's not really a reboot, not a direct sequel. It's kind of a spin-off, okay, but it's like Parks and Recreation was relatively similar to The Office and could well be in the same world as The Office, but it doesn't matter if it is or not. They don't talk to each other, So curious for that one.
Very curious. What else is going on? What about I'll just touch on briefly about Mayor Kingstown, because we brought up Jeremy Renner a few months ago when he was getting back to filming. But a trailer is out for season three of Mayor Kingstown. This is a very interesting, gritty show, and he is starring again after this horrific accident he had over a year ago. Looks great. He talks about sort of the slog and the artist's part was to get back to acting, and how long he wanted to do it, and how hard it was to actually do. So good for him. Paramount Plus season three, Mayor of Kingstown. I'll admit I haven't seen the first two seasons, but just I'm a Jeremy Renner fan, so I may have to go check this out.
You
I'm
have to
just
go
ever
check it
happy
out.
for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. So it seems like the headline here is almost like comeback player of the year, Jeremy
Right.
Renner had this terrible accident, but he's back. We have evidence now of him
He wasn't lying.
back acting alive and well in the trailer in the new season. And that's great, because that really was a bad accident. Speaking of Jeremy Renner, this is a total side note. Do you recall at all? Did you ever have any experience with the Jeremy Renner app?
No, I
Like,
don't
there's
know
a
about
point where he
Renner
made
app.
the app, and it was just like this ridiculous kind of fan servicey Jeremy Renner centric phone app. I mean, this was maybe 10 years ago. I don't
Oh
know,
my gosh,
maybe a
no,
little
but
less than that. It was just like an entertaining. You look into it. This is an entertaining little thing that happened at a certain point.
I'm glad I didn't know about that. I might have knocked him down a couple of notches if I had known he had an app dedicated to himself.
It was like, as I encountered it, I thought it had a humor to it, like it was kind of a joke. So I don't know. You look into
Okay,
it.
okay.
I at least thought it was funny. That's the thing. I thought it was funny. Was Jeremy Renner in on the joke?
It's
I
like a
think so.
cameo situation. You can get him to record messages for you or
Think he
something.
was. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it was. A little light on the news. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit. As I mentioned to you right before we got on to record, I kind of skipped over the story a couple of times before I finally decided, hey, let's talk about it. Apparently, Sony bought the rights to Clue for film and TV adaptations. Thoughts?
So this is actually interesting. So, I mean, more maybe a personal preference. My family loves Clue, the movie. This is
Movie Clue with Tim Curry.
a great film, right? This is
Love
great.
it.
Tim
Absolutely.
Curry, right? All the old folks,
Oh
right?
man.
Are back. Christopher Lloyd was in this. Madeline Kahn, all these people that were. It's a great film.
Absolutely. I've seen it dozens of times,
Yes, so good. What I find interesting about this is, there have been things reported in the past several months and years about the, so Hasbro owns this. They own all these sort of toy brands, right? So they've already started these crossover things. We know, because things have been leaked, that there's going to be a Transformer GI Joe crossover. There's going to be all these other toy things they develop in the movies. I'm curious to see how this, sort of how this plays out. Are we going to have GI Joe like playing Clue in in the movie? I think this is,
Yeah.
it's hit on something here.
Here's the thing. Clue is an absolutely great movie.
Oh, yes.
And Clue, the board game, is a board game that I enjoy playing. You can get into really
Absolutely.
high level. You get me play some. One time I played Clue with my girlfriend at the time, and I was visiting her family at Christmas, and they were like the most expert Clue players I've ever encountered. And they had individualized systems for taking notes and stuff,
Wow.
I managed to hold my own, and you're making a series of inferences and all that kind of stuff. So I like the game, and I love the film that exists. But part of why the film that exists is so impressive is that they managed to make a good movie based on Clue.
This is true. This is very true.
Like, there's nothing intrinsic about the game that makes you go like that'd be a good movie.
We haven't seen a good Chutes and Ladders movie, a good mountain, what is it, rat race, what was that one where you had to catch the mouse, whatever it is. You don't really see many good movies that are
Hungry
adapted from
Hungry
the game.
Hippos, the movie.
Hungry
I mean,
Hippos.
like, you can do it often by spinning out from it in a certain way. And the thing is, well, like, how do you do that with Clue? They did it with Clue. They did it very effectively. They gathered this ensemble cast that is just full of, I mean, you didn't even mention Michael McKean, I don't think. And just did a great film. So like, what are you doing now though? Like, we're gonna make some movies, we're gonna make some TV shows. And the other thing is, the last time I played Clue, if you go to the store and like buy Clue now, they've switched up the characters. They aren't the
Oh
same as the old classic characters.
no. No.
They might have the same names, but they're like weirdly not the same characters. It's like Professor Plum, Tech Bro.
No.
So are
I'll
they
go
going
to
to?
eBay and find the original somewhere.
Yeah. So like, I mean, are they going to adapt something with those new characters that no one's really familiar with?
Right,
Like
right.
that they updated the characters for some reason over the course of the year, so they didn't seem too old timey or whatever. So it's just really weird. I don't know.
Professors are out of style, Cameron. I'm sorry to tell you, they just don't do it for people anymore.
Yeah, probably. It's just not even Professor Plum anymore. It's
Yeah.
Tech
No,
Bro Plum.
that's it. No, I mean, yeah, this is what we have to talk about these days, right? And so we get some more news on shows. We'll talk about Clues.
Anyway, yeah, I thought it was worth talking about because I figured we could at least get some mileage out of talking about the existing film, which I
Absolutely.
do love. At one point, I owned two copies of it. Accidentally, I had two
Oh.
copies of Clue on DVD. It's like, well, I'm keeping both.
There are worse things to own, don't to
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think.
Yeah, that's the news, I think.
Yeah, I mean, kind of in my mind, Amir is kind of newsy. So I'm like, you watch the NFL draft at all? The NFL draft started last night.
I did. I usually, even if I'm doing something, I'm second screening it or whatever. It's always on. My Texans did not have a pick last night, but that's because we traded it for Stephon Diggs, so I don't mind that. Are you happy with your team and what they did last night?
Yeah, I mean, and I was excited about this particular draft. It seemed like there were a lot of storylines going into it, and I did get kind of sucked into watching, consuming some of the pre-draft stuff, the analysis and the questions, and like how many quarterbacks are going to go early. And so it's always more exciting when there's a bunch of quarterbacks early. Some years you're turning down and it's just like a bunch of offensive linemen
You're right.
and cornerbacks and stuff, defensive players.
The
For a good reason, but
Atlanta Falcons pick is, for those that are paying attention to this, is what's getting the, I think, getting the headlines today for how odd it was, I guess is the right word.
I mean, and this is the thing. This is a it's a TV obsessive podcast, not a sports podcast, but there's a TV watching element, and you have to deal with the fact that this is what I've been watching in the past couple of days. And then today, this is almost the best thing about the Michael Penix pick. The sports media should love this,
Oh man,
even if it's to give them the opportunity to talk about how much they hate it. You know what I mean? Because,
this was just
like,
pure content today.
I watch like 3 or 4 15-minute long YouTube videos earlier,
Yes.
breaking this down, playing, trying to explain why they did what they did, or how it
Yeah.
does make any sense. So.
The quick context for those that need is the Atlanta Falcons, who picked 8th in the draft, just spent $100 million over 3 years for quarterback Kirk Cousins. Then, with the 8th pick and all of the players available to them, picked an injury-prone old quarterback named Michael Penix, and then went on, had to justify their pick. I wish I had the I could give credit to this tweet I saw last night. It was really great. It said something to the effect of, "This is like when you just went out and spent $400 on gourmet groceries, and then you order yourself some fast food to eat for dinner, right?" It's like, why would you do this when you've just spent all this capital and money and time on this quarterback who's supposed to lead you to some great seasons while he's there?
I do think I figured it out. I do think I've come around on it. But that's where we
Okay.
would veer into becoming sports talk radio,
Yeah.
I guess. As a TV viewing experience, I mean, the other thing was no one saw this coming.
Right,
No
right.
one saw this coming. And I was watching on NFL Network, and they go to Ian Rappaport, and Ian Rappaport says, I've been telling you guys that there's a chance Atlanta's going to take Michael Penix, and everyone's been ignoring me. And then it's like, do, 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 they take Michael Penix, But I hadn't even heard that beforehand,
Just good in terms of TV, good viewing because of the WTF moment of it all. I think it was the
Yeah.
highlight.
Wild stuff. To answer your question, I am relatively happy that my Detroit Lions drafted Terrion Arnold.
Great player.
Yes.
Great player.
So good pick. Good pick.
Yes, sir. So what about so another thing that was on this week, and I have to admit my own delinquency in this is so Shogun wrapped up its season this week over on FX. This got a lot of critical acclaim, a lot of eyeballs on it. Many people I think compared it to Game of Thrones. I admit I am late in finishing. I only finished the third episode, so I still have seven more to go. I really want to get back into it. Just other things have taken precedence. So I don't think either one of us have watched or finished this show.
No, I feel a little bit bad about it. I keep seeing people talking about it. It's very critically acclaimed. And beyond that, a lot of people have really enjoyed it, and I just haven't taken the time to get into it. You did. You started. I see. I didn't even start, but I wonder if
I
it's
did.
similar reasons as to why you got kind of held up. What would you say? Like, why didn't you go further?
I would say two reasons. One, I was just trying to prioritize other things and trying to catch up on other shows and things that I was either working on or that we were talking about. Two is I think I burdened myself by trying to do this show plus finish my Game of Thrones rewatch. It was hard to do these two sort of epics at one time. So I'm very near the end of Game of Thrones. Let me get to Shogun later. I do plan on finishing it. Probably going to finish it relatively soon.
Right on.
Yeah.
I can see that. But maybe it's not entirely the same. But like, why haven't I watched it? I don't know. I have no problem with things with subtitles. It's great that there are subtitles, but the feeling of, okay, well, this is something where I'm going to really need to sit down, give it my full attention, and very quickly I was behind. Am I going to catch up? Well, I'm probably not going to catch you up to the conversation. And so on and so forth, and
You're
just
making a great point.
backburnered it.
This is a commitment show. This is not a second screen or have it on. Maybe I'll catch something while I'm folding laundry. You cannot do that with this show and want and grasp what they're trying to give you.
Which that's fine. That's good. That's great. And like, oftentimes that's what I want is something that sucks me in and is really compelling that I have to pay attention to, but. Only so much time in the day, and for whatever reason, I've been prone to instead like watch mock drafts of the, which I was thinking about, the NFL draft finally starts last night. I'm like, think about all this content that just suddenly became worthless,
Worthless, yeah.
just worthless. And it's still on YouTube, but it's no
Exactly.
value whatsoever. People guessing what's going to happen to this thing that is now happening. But regardless, we got more NFL draft tonight and more all day tomorrow. I don't know. Tomorrow in particular is the day where it's like potentially just like put it on the TV and mute the TV and you're
Exactly.
done.
Just catch it when you can.
Okay, I think that about does it. You want to get the sugar?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so sugar episode 5, where we're at here. Came out on Apple TV Plus today, April 26th. So we'll pop in a little bit of music here on the other side of that. Spoilers are on the table for episode 5 of Sugar through episode 5, Boy in the Corner, Boy in the Corner. We'll see you in about 10 seconds.
Okay, we are back to talk about Sugar, episode 5, Boy in a Corner, written by Mark Protasevich, directed by Fernando Moraes. After the details of Davey's horrific criminal activity leaked at the end of episode 4, Davey is very worried about whether his Man in the Corner film will ever be released. His mother soothes him with wine and promises of a great inheritance. But as we'll see later, it's just not enough. Sugar is insistent on talking to Davy. Eventually, Davy does agree, finally admitting that Stallings, who we learn is a trafficker of women, would get Davy girls from time to time. Davy asks Stallings to take care of Olivia after she found out about this. And it seems that he has done that, so we still don't exactly know what it is that he's done to her. Davy attempts suicide after seeing no way out for all the things that he's done. But whether he's actually dead or not, I guess we have to wait until the next episode. Meanwhile, Sugar notices some interesting, potentially incriminating things about Jonathan Siegel while he visits him in his home after his heart attack. He then visits Melanie and is able to fight off one of Stallings' men who'd broken into her home. He invites her back to his hotel room for the night, where he admits to her, "I have a secret." Ruby also has a secret. She meets with Miller, who we see for the first time. They discuss they must do whatever possible to keep Sugar from learning out about Stallings. This sets up several mysteries that we have yet to solve, including Olivia, including Sugar's secret, including what the deal is between Ruby and Stallings. And we have three more episodes to figure it out. Cameron, we got, like I said, several different paths that we could take here, but a lot of the focus here is on Davy.
Yeah, a lot of it's on Davy. I guess first, mea culpa, like I said last week. Well, it seems like a red herring. Nope.
He basically comes out and admits it.
Nope. This is, yeah. Davy comes out. He admits that he was telling Stallings about Olivia. And we still don't know exactly what happened to Olivia. Davy says to Sugar something like, he thought Stallings was just going to intimidate her. But what did you do instead?
Yeah.
We don't get,
Dot, dot, dot. We don't get that. Yes.
Does Davy not know? Do you think Davy knows?
I think Davy must. I think part of what is my personal opinion, part of what is contributing to what Davy does to himself in this episode is what he caused to have happened to his sister, whether that's locked up and being tortured or whether that's been killed, which we don't know. He knows what's happened, and that's what contributes to what he does.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder if he knows the details. But it's kind of an odd scene. He's basically laying it all out for Sugar, but then Sugar doesn't push for those details.
That's right. That's right. I 1% of me wondered, is this an actor doing something? But I think just the events after that tell me no. This was probably him being authentic.
And he does apparently get Stallings' address from Davy, so maybe we're talking about this a little bit last week, how Sugar throughout consistently has insisted that he's going to find Olivia, he's going to get Olivia back, it's going to be okay.
Right.
So you could almost read it in that question. I'm sorry, in that level of, he doesn't ask the question of what specifically Stallings did to Olivia when he's talking to Davy. He doesn't ask that question specifically, because perhaps Sugar just can't fathom the possibility that Stallings just up and killed her. But
Yeah.
I found myself thinking about that possibility. Maybe he just killed her.
Yeah, that I'm not going to let myself consider that thought because I have convinced myself I'm getting her back. As you said, he has said that every episode so far to multiple people. He is convinced he's getting her back, and so he won't consider the thought that that's not a possibility yet.
Yeah, because it doesn't make a it still doesn't make a ton of sense to me to think that he's got Olivia behind that padlocked door. It's possible, but we do learn what Stallings does in this episode. I was recalling
Yeah.
how I kind of pointed out last week. We don't exactly know what his criminal business is. Well, now we do, and of course, it's very, very bad. And given that it is sex trafficking, and we see him meeting the boss, and coercing the women to come with him and all of that, right? Well, okay, I think there's every chance that behind that padlock door is where they're going.
Yeah, where we see this van of women that he escorts off to somewhere through one of these scenes. Whether he would keep Olivia in that same place or not, I don't know. But yeah, I think everything's on the table from just keeping her locked up to send her somewhere else as part of a sex trafficking group to kill her. I don't know what's off the table at this point.
Right. I mean, I just find myself thinking, if I was Stallings, which I'm very not, for the record, Stallings, I'm
That's
not
good.
like, or I don't resemble Stallings in any way, I don't think, other than maybe we both had some facial hair. But it would make sense to me from his point of view for him to just kill her. It'd be simpler, it'd be cleaner, as it were. There's
Especially
no.
after she apparently has killed one of his guys, as we learned a couple episodes ago. Whatever happened to that body, we don't know, but she's done that.
It is an interesting wrinkle, though, that he does not seem to know that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I mean, I am very curious about that and how this is going to hang together. And then what's going on? If we jump kind of to Ruby goes and meets this guy, Miller. We finally see Miller. I forgot to make a note of the actor's name. He's another one of these guys who is very much that guy in that thing
Yes.
who plays this character,
He's
right? Like,
Paul Schultz or Paul Schultzy.
and it's like he always plays a guy like this. That's how I feel anyway. I'm sure that's not true, but it's almost typecasting of we need some, oh, we've got this character named Miller, you know, who we got? Oh, I've got the guy. He's good. I enjoy it.
No, it was good, but we were introduced to him. We've heard of him before this episode. We see him now. We still, now almost three-fourths way through the season, don't exactly know what he and Ruby are doing and what it is about Stallings they are trying to hide from Sugar.
Yeah, so let's focus in on the information that we do get in this scene and see if it takes us anywhere. I don't know if it will. One thing I thought was interesting is Ruby says, you know, if Sugar finds out thing, he's going to be unhappy about it. She also says she's unhappy about it. Which I don't think we've quite gotten before. We know it has to do with Stallings, but Miller says something like, we're just observing like we always do.
I have been, since I heard that, again, I watched this a couple of days ago, trying to make a connection between we are observing. Being involved in this polyglot society, what Stallings does, and how he's involved with the family. Like, how can I make these puzzle pieces fit? I mean, I admit I'm coming up empty at this point.
It's one of them too. But he says that, and then Ruby says something like, well, this is different. You know, this is different. And Miller admits, yeah, you're right. It's different. So, this is what we have to work with. I find myself thinking, okay, well, how is it different? Is it different because the kind of crime Stallings is involved in is so heinous? Is it different because he's a criminal at all? Who are they normally observing? Maybe I need to try to parse this a little bit more. What I'm thinking is, okay, maybe for whatever reason they're observing criminal behavior. You know, it was like learn how the criminal mind works or something like that, tied into whatever their overall program is supposed to be. And Sugar does know about that and would be generally on board with that, but not with the idea of doing it here and not intervening in what Stallings is doing in particular.
I just again, I know this has been sort of cl clouding our comments on this entire show, but knowing that this big twist of some kind is coming and that this has to tie into that somehow, it's like, would that be something to make your jaw drop? I mean, I don't know what the thing is that would make me feel that way. And if this is big enough, or if we still have something, if it is that sugar secret, is that what they're doing? Are they tied together? I feel like they have to be. You know, I just I mean, kudos to the show. Trouble kind of connecting the dots of where it's going.
I mean, I don't have a good guess because I think that the big question is they're observing Stallings. We go with that. Why? I feel like that's where the big question is, there is also the question of, what is it about Stallings and what they're doing with Stallings that will make Sugar particularly upset?
Yeah.
You mentioned Sugar's secret, and at the end of the episode, he tells Melanie he has a secret. She says, "Tell me." He's like, "I can't." Well, why are you mentioning it for?
Exactly. You said you also said you wouldn't have her come sleep over at your place. You did that. You might as well just tell her the secret. I bet we get it. I bet we get it next time.
I bet we do, but here's what I think is kind of interesting putting this all together, that on the one hand, okay, so in that last scene, not just that Sugar has a secret, but he knows he has a secret. Why is that significant? Well, it would seem that there's something about what's going on that he doesn't know that Miller wants to keep from him. I mean, going back to that scene between Ruby and Miller, the fact that Miller says, "Okay, well, you're right, this is different. You're right, it'd be bad if Sugar found out," that leads him to say, "Do whatever it takes to keep Sugar from finding out." Why would it be that bad for Sugar to find out?
I can't come up with an answer. I mean, frankly, I don't know what would be that bad.
I don't have one either, really, but I think that's a question to consider here, right? Because if you think about this, whatever they're doing, all right, they're doing some nefarious stuff, and say they're spies or whatever, right? And if Sugar finds out about this particular thing they're doing with Stallings, he's going to be unhappy, which would lead to Sugar quitting. Okay, but no, it's got to be worse than that, because I mean, Miller's reaction, he doesn't even seem to consider the possibility of them cutting ties with Stallings or turning on Stallings, because Sugar's got to, would have a point here. Let's go ahead and let Sugar find Stallings and forget about whatever we're doing. So whatever they're doing with regard to Stallings has to fit in with the kind of big overarching plan in a significant way, such that Sugar doesn't just not know about what they're doing with Stallings, but doesn't know about that aspect of the overarching plan, which would be threatened should Sugar find out about Stallings. So you right, like, why would you have to keep Sugar from finding out by any means necessary? Because you can't have him threatening the overall plan. It has to be something like that.
It has to be something like that. So there are layers of this secret, layers of these secrets that I think will, as we sort of round the corner here into the last third of the season, are going to start to get uncovered, maybe even little bits at a time. But it's still quite the mystery so far.
Yeah, so okay, so maybe they're aliens, and maybe Sugar knows that he's an alien, right? And that's a secret. And they're observing to try to learn about human behavior and mimic human behavior. And Sugar thinks, well, that's all they're doing, but actually, it's a invasion plan.
I go some wild way to that. I'll soft
Don't
hit
know.
it.
I mean, it's probably not that. I kind of hope it's not
Yeah.
that. Just trying to kind of piece things together. Regardless, what we do have is
Yeah.
Sugar has a secret that he knows that he has, but then there's another level of whatever's going on with this polyglot society and with Ruby and with Miller that he doesn't know about, and that
Yeah.
connects to Stalling in some way. And I feel like we've got 3 episodes left.
Yep.
So relatively soon, I feel like the move the show has to make is to somehow spin the Olivia mystery into this other mystery by the end of the season.
Yeah, this is a great point because it's in many ways almost gotten to the point where the other things are overshadowing the we need to find out what happened with Olivia, so much so that we just got an exposition dump of Davey saying, "This is what happened and why it happened." We don't exactly know where she is, what has happened to her. Will she be able to find her alive? But yeah, these mysteries are starting to stack up, and you can't just, in my mind, you can't just minimize the original what's the conceit of the show that he's a private investigator looking for someone at the expense of these other two things, however wild or outlandish they may be.
Yeah. What we say is true. I mean, in a meaningful way,
Yeah.
the Olivia case is solved in this episode, other than arguably the most important thing. We don't know where she is, if she's alive or dead, and so on and so forth. But in terms of what happened and who did it,
Yeah.
that's.
I do wonder, will we get to the end of this season and see whatever it is that happened, whatever it's uncovered, whatever the secret is, and say, man, I wish they had just done a really cool noir private investigator solve a mystery, solve a missing persons case, but we added all this other stuff in that we're not quite sure what it is yet. I don't know. Maybe we won't, but I worry about that.
Yeah, it's possible. Knowing that there's some twist coming, one possibility is that wrecks the show. Hopefully that's not what happens. Hopefully they pull it off well. But we do have, I mean, other lingering questions, and I don't know how they're going to tie in. What happened to Clifford's body? I feel like I keep mentioning that every week, and the show has not felt the need to revisit it for like since the premiere.
Not at all.
What happened to his body that was in the trunk and then not in the trunk? Where did the body go? Who did that? What was up with the strand of hair? We haven't followed up on that. What it did, we have followed up on significantly is the stuff with the Polaroids, which here in this episode, when Sugar is visiting Jonathan, who's incapacitated in a hospital bed in his own home, he sees the room that's like a shrine to Lorraine Everly. And we get flashes that indicate, well, this is where those pictures were taken. This is where those Polaroids of Rachel K were taken in Lorraine's dress, which is there, and all of that. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, so the question of it's always sort of been lingering, this idea of how is Jonathan involved in what's been going on here more than just the instigator of a private investigator looking for his granddaughter. There seems to be some significant secrets that Jonathan may be hiding. I think there's an implication there. And not that it has to do with Olivia. Why would he have hired a private investigator to look for Olivia if, he's in some way can be implicated in that? But there's something that he is hiding, something that is, we can now start to piece together a result of what he sees in the shrine, the dress that's there, the photos we saw earlier. He's hiding something as well. There's maybe, again, layers of things that this family's doing that don't necessarily all connect, but Sugar's trying to put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that he had an affair with his son's wife.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like. We know that she died. I believe it was said that she died in a car accident. That's always the kind of thing, particularly in a story like this, where you're like, well, maybe that was murder. We don't know, but that is definitely a thread that they're
Yeah, this
certain
is one of the
things.
little things they pick up, little pieces every episode when they were at the movie premiere, when we saw the photographs, when we see this shrine. Yeah, they don't want us to forget about that. So there's some line, some sort of piece that connects all of it at the end. Whether that ties into other larger mysteries, I guess remains to be seen.
I have the hunch that it will.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. And then in contrast, I feel like they do want us to forget about the question of what happened to Clifford's body. But I'm not forgetting.
Chekhov's buddy, Chekhov's Clifford.
Someone did something with that body.
That's right, somebody.
Let's see what else we got here. A couple other things to hit on, I think.
No, just wanted to mention something that I enjoyed about this. If you go to the scene where Melanie is being attacked by Stallings' henchman, and he's got the drill and he's going through the door, there is a few seconds that's almost shot for shot of The Shining, of her sort of in the corner screaming, ready to stab him. Just very reminiscent of Jack Nicholson breaking through that bathroom door. And I enjoyed the throwback because we see all these clips of old movies and old references in this show. I thought that that was a subtle one that calls back to something without actually showing the clip of the movie, which is very, very impactful, I thought.
Yeah, that was good. Of course, he doesn't say, "Here's Johnny."
Yeah, right.
I should have called him Johnny. I don't even know that guy's dick. Presumably, that henchman has a name. I
Yeah,
don't know if he has a name. I couldn't even find a name when I was writing my article recap.
right.
So I just called him, like henchman or thug or whatever. Nothing to worry about. Maybe there's a little bit more we should mention about that whole scene, right? Because it's not just that Melanie's being attacked by Stallings' henchmen, because he still wants to know what happened to Clifford, so they're not entirely forgetting about that, right?
That's
That's what
right.
he's following up on.
That's true.
Sugar shows up. I did think it was weird, though. It seems like Charlie has Melanie under surveillance, but at the same time, not very effective surveillance, because when Sugar goes and talks to Charlie in the surveillance van, they still don't know that there's this man in Melanie's house.
Yeah, I guess, and the only thing I could, because I was trying to square that circle a little bit of, they seem to have do a decent job of keeping these tabs on folks and what's happening to them. But unless Charlie was just literally following her wherever she was going, he may not have noticed that down the street was a truck and that guy would have broken in the house before that Charlie ever got there. That's the only way I think I can justify it. But no, just sort of in the back of the truck eating ramen when, she's getting attacked inside. Not pulling your weight, Charlie.
Yeah, it was a little odd. But then Sugar sees the truck and then he
Yeah.
goes into the house. And then the other thing about this that's probably worth mentioning is, of course he beats up the thug, and maybe goes a bit overboard.
Oh yeah, he's been ready for
Melanie seems freaked by it.
that.
John Sugar himself seems a bit freaked by how violent he got
Yeah,
in that moment. So
and then he goes in and journals about it, I guess.
yeah, he goes and journals about it, then he can't sleep.
Yeah.
And that's part of why he can't sleep, is because he's worried about how violent he was. And then he goes and talks to Melanie and says, "Melanie, I have a secret.
Yeah.
I'm a werewolf."
No, he doesn't say that. Not yet.
I
Not yet. Not
keep it under control. I
yet.
take meds, but I'm sorry it was so violent. It's because I'm aware.
Oh my gosh. We'll see. We'll see.
yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, we find out in this next one what Sugar's secret is. We get some movement on that. And as you said, look, through the first five episodes, personally, I'm really enjoying the show. I'm really enjoying the mystery that centers around Olivia and what's going on with the Siegel family and all the ins and outs of that, and all of these questions. And I do hope that they effectively service
Yeah.
this mystery we've started with as they turn toward that kind of broader question. I think it needs to do both for the show to be really effective.
Yeah, don't just use it as a pathway to those other bigger ones, but do some good things with that one. I still have faith that they will.
Yeah, it'll just be really disappointing if it's like, well, but actually,
Yeah.
this is John Sugar's dream happening in a snow globe.
Right.
Like, hey,
Right.
don't do that. All right, good. I think that about covers it. Anything else you want to hit on before we go?
Yeah, I think you're good.
All right. So thanks as always for listening. Please do check out tvobsessive.com. You can find my article recaps on Sugar there, along with all sorts of other things written by myself and others. Some things written by Ryan. What was the last thing you did? Three Body Problem?
Yeah, three body problem. Still recovering from that. And that show is still popping up at number one from time to time. So it's got some legs.
Yeah, it's got some legs. And we've got more things on the horizon. So check out tvobsessive.com, follow the site on social media, search for TV Obsessive, and you'll mostly get, links to articles and stuff like that. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please do leave us a good rating, review, like, thumbs up, whatever it is. If you're on YouTube, and subscribe to the channel. And we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then. Looking forward to it.